I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
My newly minted co-host, I mean, Barrett Sports Media, put it right there on the website under the second part. But it was on the website. All right? You got to scroll.
We're already going after the trades?
It's a half scroll.
We're 30 seconds into this thing. We can't go after everyone.
Maybe we can.
I got 25 hours a week, and I cannot be stopped. I'm a monster. They've now empowered me by putting, I'll say it, my best friend in the building right across from me.
I like that you thought about what to do with the open, by the way, because like tomorrow you can definitely say the show is back, but today you had no chance.
No, you could. There's no way. And now we built this whole moment. We'll talk Browns. Cavs got the Bucks tonight. Can they go 8-0? That's the franchise record for the fastest and best start in franchise history. That was a big breath. Ryan Day.
We're getting teared up with the idea.
Didn't lose his job. Oh, where was that? I'm sorry. Was that all premature? Sorry, morning boys. Sorry, Ohio State fans who exclusively shop at Walmart. But for you, sir, this is your moment. You just got to really.
This
heartfelt,
is my moment.
You got to really just.
Did I already blow it? Because you did this whole nice like, oh, best friend at the station, and I just kind of drove right by that.
No.
Or was it implied?
No. Now I've raised the stakes, so you now have to match or better
that. I mean, people know that though, right? They know that this is the show that we've been doing together for 8 years, while also not being able to do this show together.
Yeah,
this is the one. This is finally like we've hit that spot.
Do people know that? I don't think people
know
the tale of Baron Penguin and Andy Roth. Our dear departed former PD wanted us to make sure.
I mean, he just left and went to Atlanta.
Well, yeah.
My dear departed.
It's hot there.
Yeah,
it's hot there. There's an implication.
Okay.
But he wanted to make sure we worked Baron Penguin into the first segment because he loves the name of that so much.
Yeah, he was a big supporter of Baron Penguin.
He always was. He's like, if you ever get it, I mean, the show name's Afternoon Drive, but make sure to pepper in Baron Penguin. Anything to add here?
It is cool. I mean, we've known each other for now. It's almost 9 years, 8.5 years, and we've just always talked about what the show would be like. It's not like we do this with like everyone at the station. It was just, I talk about it with you, you talk about it with me, and now we get a chance to actually make that show.
I think they made this the show simply so we would stop doing it.
Is that it?
Up in the back there? Because after 9 years, everybody's just like, okay, we get it. You like each other. You have energy. You like sports. Cool. And, I mean, if you think about it that way, we really kind of bullied him into it. I mean, really kind of shoehorned him.
That's how history is going to remember that one. We just bullied him into it.
Yep. That's exactly how we got here. Now, I got to say, so happy. I mean, for you, your family, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
For, you know, like when we met, you were a single guy, and then you met and you fell in love with Elise, and now you got a beautiful baby girl. And like, I'm just so happy for you because we both grew up in the business. I can't say enough. So I'm going to let you say something here because 1 week ago's time, this is how we do it on the show. 1 week ago's time. I was trying to say, guys, I think this is one game. Let's let this one breathe a little bit. I just don't know. Like, it was a great game. It was a lot of fun. And he went against Baltimore, and there was the Jimmy part of it. It was so great.
By Friday, by the way, by Friday, I thought you did get there. Not to where I got, but I thought you were starting to get there. Were you not?
Get to where? Get to that they might.
Get to a spot that maybe it's not the most inconceivable thing that we ever heard of, that maybe Jameis Winston could actually beat Joe Flacco.
Yeah, no. I never got there. I simply gave them a chance to not lose by 100 points, which they didn't. They lost by like 20 points, and it was never really that close. But here was Jonathan Pander from last Monday.
I'm not doing the two or three more games. I'm putting a lot into yesterday. And I absolutely love what I saw yesterday, and I do think it was a bigger deal than maybe some people are making it out to be.
But too many things went right for that to be a flash in the pan and a one-off.
You've been here for a decade. You have to know. You can't just say, well, too many things went right. Yes, that's when you should be most cynical about it.
All I have is a mountain of evidence that Stefanski knows what he's doing with other quarterbacks. It's so obvious what happened here. And sometimes when you're presented with the obvious, you got to accept it.
I agree.
Got this new nice show. So excited to get to work today, and now all I want to do is walk away from the mic. Now I just want to crawl back to Solon and just be like, oh no.
So now the question is, are you going to double down and say yesterday was the mirage, or are you going to flip-flop?
I like that you give me the option to say yesterday was a mirage.
This show is about optionality, just like Kevin Stefanski's offense, in that it's made up. So I'll ask you, which option are you choosing?
I'm choosing the option that tells me we all got duped. We got duped. For 1 week, we got duped. We wanted to buy into what we saw. They beat a Ravens team that had won five straight. Lamar Jackson is the front runner for league MVP. They looked awesome. What the hell was that yesterday, Nick?
I believe we call that a Texas-sized ass whooping.
That was so brutal on so many different levels. And it was, I don't think it's crazy. Like, so think about it. Thursday night, for instance, the Jets come and take on the Texans. And Aaron Rodgers is like, oh, cayenne pepper and water. That's going to be the fountain of youth. And all these Jets fans, these loony Jets fans were like, oh, yeah, cayenne water, cayenne pepper and water. It's pretty good, right? Like, they're convincing themselves that something changed, right? Something was different. Meanwhile, we had an actual change. We watched our bad quarterback, Deshaun Watson, be sidelined, and then Jameis Winston looked like the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. Like, there was tangible reasons for why that wasn't just the beginning of 1 week being duped, and here I am 1 week later and I'm duped.
Yeah, it's okay. I believe there was something I left out from setting up that clip and then reacting to that clip, which was I told you so. I believe I tried.
Don't hurt yourself. Pat yourself on the back there. Bikram yoga reach you got going on.
I've limbered up today. Ugh. I made sure I went on a nice 2 mile walk. We're feeling great. I tried to warn everybody. And listen, we're not going to make this show about that because that's not what this is. We get them wrong. That's okay to be wrong.
Well, I'm like Evel Knievel. I get paid for the attempt. I hope everyone knows that. But I think like 90% of Browns fans got that one wrong.
Yeah, but I think like to me, the most predictable thing was what happened yesterday. And a lot of that, by the way, if we're just going to keep it grounded.
I didn't see it coming.
Like, if you take the names and records off this, and you just said you've got a quarterback who the only way this guy eats is he throws the ball down the field more than anybody. Like, that's the way that he gets himself going and the team going, and you're going up against a team with an elite pass rush who, by the way, plays the most two-high safety look in the NFL. Oh, and it's the best passing defense in the NFL.
Like, well, best scoring defense, not the best passing defense, or the best scoring defense.
It looked like the best passing defense on Sunday.
They looked really good.
And so, like, I felt it in my bones as the weekend went on. And when I saw Jameis's pregame thing, where he just continues to have, like...
Well, he was feeling himself, wasn't
he? I'll be honest with you, if it was anybody else, we'd be thinking about, like, should we get this guy tested for something? Because he's on something. Like, he's just so intense. And I was like, there's no way. There's just no way. And unfortunately, listen, that game went a lot worse than I thought it would go.
Yeah. How could you think it would have gone any better?
But you were talking about unbearable. Very worse. I wasn't that affected by it. Maybe it's because I
got myself back high. I started to believe that this was Joe Flacco 2.0, and Myles Garrett is all but guaranteeing victories on Friday. Like I bought into all that hook, line, and sinker. And listen, maybe I just lied to myself. Maybe I needed to lie to myself. I wanted to lie to myself. I wanted to give myself hope for this season. But yesterday that felt like it did 2 weeks ago. That was just a kick in the nards.
But it wasn't a regression. This is who they are. And maybe it's because I've accepted that. And again, you don't have to like it. You don't have to enjoy it. I'm not saying anybody should have enjoyed it. But like, I took the Washington loss so hard. I took the Philly loss and the Cincy loss because a lot of these games, the Raiders, I took all those so personally. And this one, I'm watching it, and I'm a little disaffected. I'm like,
you're apathetic already.
No. Because I still love watching the team. They're still my team. I'm not giving up on them. There's always next year. I think, have we not said that in a week or two? But like, I can't say I saw it coming. I just think like, if a regression was due, well, this is the game you can't have a regression against. And unfortunately, it was a matchup nightmare. And Jameis Winston turned into a pumpkin post Halloween.
You had such a prime opportunity if you won that game, and then you get the bye week, and then you take on the Saints, and the Saints just fired their head coach today. That is a dumpster fire of a team right now. Like, it was such a prime opportunity, and they just vomited all over their shoes, Nick.
Yeah, that's magical thinking. Everything that you just did there is magical.
Well, hold on, it was baked in. I'm not sitting over here. That was no fantasy land there. That was baked in some logic.
Did we
not just see Joe Flacco do the same exact thing last year? Like, wasn't it a reasonable reasonable estimation that Stefanski and all these wide receivers and everyone was just being dragged down by Deshaun?
So basically, because
pretty sure that was reasonable.
Because no. Because it would have been unreasonable to expect it last year. Nobody expected it last year.
No, but we saw it last year. Yeah, last year was the proof that it exists.
And every year is different. And by the way, just because they play a similar style, Joe and Jameis are two wildly different cats.
Right, but we saw it happen is the point. Again, this isn't cayenne pepper and water. This isn't some Fugazi makeup.
No, we saw that happen too because the Jets beat the Texans on Thursday night.
This is Stefanski. This is the same core of wide receivers. This is every bit of it was exactly the same. And then you plug in Jameis, which is different. And there was reason. There was reason there to think that this could be something that Stefanski's just really good at and does.
I just realized you are trying to cling to hope on this whole thing. You're trying to cling to salvation by
Well, I don't think Jameis is going to be as bad as he was this last weekend. It just doesn't matter now anymore.
Well, yeah, but I think that's the point. To me, part of the reason why what happened on Sunday happened is this was a culmination of the 8 previous weeks. Like, this is not an I was right moment, but like when you start to lose the way that they've lost this year, at some point, there are compounding effects. And oh, by the way, they continue to have just ridiculous injury after ridiculous injury. JOK was not out there. Denzel maybe shouldn't have been, given the way that he played. Like, it just, at some point, the math just math. It was right there. You didn't have to have a soothsayer. You didn't have to have somebody look into a crystal ball to see where this team is. And listen, I do enjoy some of the Jameis stuff, but like, he is Jameis. He is where he is in his career for a reason, despite obvious physical gifts.
Yeah, I mean, I spent last week diving into the post-30 interception season with Jameis Winston, where he actually had like a 24 touchdown to 11 interception ratio. And I'm like, this is it. He's been misunderstood. All these type of things. I was just wrong. That's all it comes down to.
Are you going
to
yo-yo on Jameis? Are we going to do this every week?
No, I think Jameis is going to be somewhere in between what you saw. I think he's going to be somewhere in between the guy that leads the league in passing yards and whatever that was yesterday. I think he's going to end up looking better than more people realize. I think the Browns will win a couple more games than maybe people even realize as well. It just doesn't matter anymore now.
Yeah, so I want to get back to that.
Playoffs are done. It just doesn't matter.
But so there's a lot to still watch this team for, and I know that's weird considering I just said I kind of expected this, and you couldn't afford one more loss, and that's where you are. So I disagree with people who say the season's over. No, your chances to compete for the playoffs are over.
Right. Because you still have things you can learn. You still have things that you got to build up on for sure.
Well, and there's a lot of things that you can do. And whether you choose to be competitive or whether you choose to maybe start looking at 2025, there's the trade deadline tomorrow. There's a lot of things that are variables in this. But the reality is, like, when you look at this, I do think there's going to be an element to this that Jameis is going to make this watchable. I know nobody wants to hear this. I'm going to tell you, guys are probably going to beat the Saints. That team just fired Dennis Allen.
I hope you'd beat the Saints.
They hired the special teams coach. That would be, like, that loss right now would be the loss that I think I'd start to worry about people's jobs for, because it'd be as bad as the Saints losing to the Panthers, which effectively got Dennis Allen fired. But, like, Jameis should keep this entertaining.
Got us some great Michael Thomas content, though,
and
did it not?
I don't know. I know Cam Jordan sending out a tweet saying, I apologize to all New Orleans. That was such a great shot at the city of Charlotte and Panthers fans. Like, bleep that guy. I'm sorry. That is petty. We like petty on this show, but you lost to the Panthers. Just sit there in it. Sit in your filth and don't enjoy it. But I do think, like, they're probably going to beat the Saints. And then, listen, I don't know they'll win another game this year, but I think the number one thing is, if you want to keep Browns fans happy, I think Jameis keeps it interesting. And I do think
he's way more interesting than DTR.
Yeah, well, honestly, he's more interesting than Deshaun.
Yeah, his shtick might run really old really quick, though.
Oh,
do we swerve into the biting W stuff and the pregame speeches and the sermons and everything? Or do we just kind of be like, you threw three interceptions, dude?
That is another bit of wisdom I tossed out last week. There is a statute of limitations on that.
Yeah.
And it's probably about your second or third loss in a row, but that's not this week. It's okay. You got to buy now. We can just kind of relax a little bit. The Browns aren't going to ruin your Sundays for at least one weekend. And the reality is, I didn't think that loss, all right, I don't want to say that wasn't a bad loss because you got boat raced at home, but there were elements to that that made sense to me. That wasn't the same as like teams that had no business beating you. Like, they took away your run game, or you took it away yourself, mm-hmm. and then they played too high safety, which means Jameis was going to have to get the ball out and take the throws underneath, which he just didn't seem willing to do.
It's the worst look for Jameis, and they knew it the way everyone should know it.
I think before you do anything else, the next change, unless it's firing a coach, the next change is Jameis has got to sour himself on this fan base with his play, or he's got to do the opposite. So I think playing him going forward is a little logical, but like, I don't know. It's so funny. I'm trying not, because I'm not apathetic. I'm still passionate that they choose the right direction and they do things that make sense going forward. But man, I kind of felt like Baltimore was the red herring. I kind of felt like that was the one that gave us false hope. And, you know, the only thing they could have done that could have changed my disposition is winning against the Chargers on Sunday, and that felt impossible very early.
I, along with 90% of people listening, might have been wrong. I had way more fun than you did last week being wrong about this, though. It at least gave me some hope. But then, man, Sunday sucked in a way that it did not suck for you, apparently.
So basically, your argument is I was delusional, but I was having fun being delusional.
No, I think I was delusional, and I had fun being delusional. Right. You were practical about it all and knew what was going on, and that's why you didn't have as much disappointment on Sunday.
Nick Wilson was right. 216-474-0092. Nick Talk. Nathan Segura at 3. Daryl Ryder at 6. All right. Separate the game from the record. Was that a regression or just a bad matchup for the Cleveland Browns? More on that in Jameis's terrible, bad, no good Sunday for the Cleveland Browns on 92.3 The Fan. Where have I heard that before? We just have to play better.
Just glad he got away from the chuckle hut that was last week.
I kind of would have liked
the comedy store.
I kind of would have liked a joke. I get like, give me a little ba-dum-tsh.
Well, you know, if you're going to stink, you might as well just turn into a funny man.
Yeah. Or like, listen, say what you want about Dan Campbell, but that guy's as hilarious when he loses as when he wins. Like, when they were like, they lost like 10 games in a row to start his career, and he was just out there like just biting kneecaps. It was funny as hell. Like, it wasn't good football, but it was funny as hell.
At least he's funny. Or you could be Nick Sirianni, who just brings his kids up there as a defense.
That's smart. That's
human shields from the media.
I will say that's I'm not gonna go there. I was gonna take a shot, but it might have sounded political. I'm not gonna do that. We're good today. This is a fun show.
Yeah, that's what tomorrow is for.
As I'm walking down the hall, and Keith jammed me up on being apathetic.
Yeah.
About this team, and the reality is, it's like, how can you be emotional about where this team is?
I think you're emotional if you were me last week.
Yeah,
talking about how great you thought this team could be. Because we saw what happened with Jameis, and I genuinely did believe. I'm the idiot today. I think a lot of Browns fans out there, you feel like idiots the same way I am. I genuinely thought that this was going to be Joe Flacco, not even 2.0, just like part two, where we do it all over again.
Yeah, but like,
and when it's not anywhere close.
So when fans do it, it doesn't bug me. It really doesn't, because that's what fans are supposed to do. You're supposed to have an unwavering hope and belief in your team. And that's the thing that sucked about last week, is I felt like it was clubbing baby seals in front of everybody and be like, no, this is good for you. You're going to learn from this. But like, where we are now is, I'm not mad because I've been processing the death of expectations for this team. And I think it's okay to just look at it and go, they don't have it. Like yesterday, like as bad as Jameis was, let's be real honest, it was the two gigantic blown coverages that are why you lost the way you lost yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, your defense, your pass rush gave you a chance to win that game, and every time Miles came down with a sack or Dalvin came down with a sack, it was a coverage.
I mean, Miles had the one series where he had two sacks, and then it turned into a first down. It just negated everything that Miles did on that drive.
And listen, I'll be honest with you guys. If I'm going to lose because whether it was Denzel Ward or Juan Thornhill blew a coverage or had some sort of communication issues, that's all loose. Like, it's so funny because they did get blown out. They got deep pants and spanked in front of their home team.
Yeah.
But here's another thing. I don't think I'm the one. I think if you put my energy and focus up against theirs.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, Like Kevin, that's Kevin playing the hits. Like if he was a sports talk show host, we would be ripping him.
Is Kevin on? Well, we are a sports talk radio host, so good thing we can do whatever we need to.
I meant if Kevin was. Okay. If Kevin was, then we'd be ripping him for playing the hits.
Well, but is he on autopilot because he seems like he's going to be done, or is this how we've heard Kevin talk for 4.5 years?
The problem is the locker room.
We've heard how he talks for 4.5 years.
Yeah, but the problem is the locker room's the same thing.
Why, Myles Garrett, after the game yesterday, said what? He was lying to everybody, but what did he say? He said he was going to make it into a postseason run, and he still had hope and all these other things, and we got to take it 1 week at a time. He gave you every cliche you could possibly imagine, but he didn't sound defeated in the slightest bit. In fact, I thought he went too far overboard in the positive direction.
I think you found the one guy, right? I think you found the one guy who said anything. As far as I heard, every player worth their salt wouldn't go anywhere near the media yesterday and ran for the hills because they don't want to talk about this team either. What was the quote in the Jason Lloyd piece for The Athletic?
Unnamed yeah. veteran player.
Whoo! Way to step out there, fella. I mean, I've never been on a team that's been eliminated before the bye before. Ah, man, you don't want to get jammed up on that one. You really put it out there. Ooh, don't reel it back in. Too hot to touch. Like,
you almost do an HOTTOGO?
By the way,
is that what you did there?
I finally saw.
Did you see the video?
It's Chapel Roan, right?
Yeah, she was on SNL this last weekend with John Mulaney, our guy.
Miss me. I get it.
Well, she didn't play the hits. You get on SNL, you got to play the hits.
I'm like Kevin Stefanski.
Do the HOTTOGO. Don't do whatever that was.
How many times do I have to see Madonna get ripped off before somebody goes, hey, she's ripping off Madonna? I mean, even the dance moves, it was like, I seen that. I seen it. I seen it.
If it works.
I mean, it is working. Good for her. Success. Best dream success. Because this is about the Browns. Like, I'll be honest with you. I think they've told us time and time again, they don't have it. Whether that is heart, leadership, and there are guys who have it. I think one of the biggest things you missed on Sunday was JOK. Like, that's a guy who's got heart and just as much as you can have. But, like, I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm not trying to take a shot at Kevin because I just think, like, the tone and timber are... Yeah, I mean, guys, we're just 2-7. Like, of course we're 2-7. Like, it's The Walking Dead. Like, how can you be that upset when they're telling you can't take a punch?
Kevin shouldn't be that way. And I just think that's how Kevin talks, but Kevin shouldn't be that way. Because Kevin went from last week being able to not only have his job saved, because everyone like me wrongly thought that he had this thing figured out, to now what do? We just boomerang back into the spot we were 2 weeks ago where it's like, oh, so you're not special. You don't have anything really going on here.
So I really thought
that
I
was, F grade from the Morning Boys sticks.
I will tell you, I thought it was a D-. Or was that?
I think Lima gave him a D-. I think it was a D-.
I thought Ken gave him a D.
Easy now.
Come on. But hey, when it comes to this, like, I really thought to myself, like, is the expectation that I come out here and just rip him? You got no heart. You got no class. Get out of my town.
That sounds good.
Like, is that what the expectation is? Because that's not what I feel.
That's how I felt on Sunday, though. Yes, I feel like, listen, you were right. You were ahead of the curve. I'm happy for you,
That's not why I'm doing this.
No, but that's how I felt. Sunday was me. It was me getting mad all over again. I spent the whole entire week convincing myself we had one thing. And then on Sunday, I just got kicked in the nards like everyone else. And we learned that this team... It wasn't even a paper tiger. If it was a paper tiger, that would suggest that there's at least something to hang on to.
But
team stinks, and we all learned it for certain on Sunday.
Yeah, so we just needed that extra one.
I mean, I know.
Losses weren't enough.
I faced a lot of energy. There was a lot into me trying to convince myself that a game against the Ravens, and the Ravens are a great football team, a game against the Ravens meant something, and it meant absolutely nothing, Nick.
It would against for almost any other team in the NFL. But I just think, like, because the truth is, I brought up the Jameis thing because everyone's like, oh, this is the Jameis experience. I'm like, guys, that wasn't even the worst Jameis can give you. Like, yeah.
I know.
Yeah, he didn't get the ball out quick. Yeah, he held onto the ball, took too many sacks. There were 3 interceptions. Guys, there's another level there. Like, if you think it can't look worse, you ain't been watching Jameis Winston here.
No, I know, but we convinced ourselves in many different ways. I mean, it's not an accident, although I think Spencer and myself are really good on the pregame show. It's not an accident that the boss was like, oh, our pregame show numbers? It's high as they've been in weeks. Like, people were building up excitement towards that game. Like, we had full phone lines, the whole everything during a pregame show with people lined up just wanting to talk about how excited they were for that game. And then to have it go down the way it did, it wasn't just a beating. It was a beatdown. Jim Harbaugh went into your house, went on your couch, made a sandwich, kicked his feet up, and did whatever he wanted to do.
Like, they left your wife. Let's go all the way.
I mean, he did all of it.
He did all
of it, and it wasn't even close.
So, here's how I didn't want, by the way. Here's how, not specifically your wife.
A visual I didn't want.
I wasn't talking about our wives. It was a metaphorical wife, all right? Or an analogy or a thought bubble or something like that. I know my words.
Just Harbaugh making love doesn't seem very...
He leaves his socks on. I'm going to tell you right now. By the way, I say that as a man that leaves his socks on because daddy doesn't like cold feet. I'm going to tell you, me and Jim Harbaugh are part of the same tribe, Mac.
I mean, he does leave his cleats on when he goes to recruits' houses. So.
Yep, I'm going
to
say.
I thought you were going to Mac to find out if he left his socks on or not while having the premaritals.
Well, I think you would have to have them first.
Easy now.
That's exactly what this show is going to be. Sorry.
You're going to get a text at 7:30 about that one.
Because I told the truth. Like, how much? We don't need to uglify Nick Wilson anymore. God has done enough. How much truth can I tell?
Wait, by the way, it's so mean, the people on Twitter today with our hairlines. Yeah. Uglifying ourselves. So, yeah, we're radio guys. What do you expect out of us?
Yeah, this video thing, we're opting into it for you.
We both wore hats today, fittingly, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think that was an accident.
And by the way, just, you know what, not for nothing. Can we get a 6'4" picture taker so that mother can take a straight angle on me? Because we got all these trolls that are shooting up from like 5'7". You're not going to get... It's going to make me look more bald.
I've been saying for years, bad angles with you. That's all it is. It's bad angles.
Listen, I'm already fat. We don't need to make me look any more like Shrek here. All right? And by the way, I'm never not wearing a hat again. Just so Keith can listen, I will be wearing hats to the end of time because you also made me look like a traffic cone putting an orange background behind me wearing an orange shirt.
Your shirt melts into the background. It's like people wear green during the green screen. That's you. You're the weatherman that forgot to not wear a green tie.
I'm no longer apathetic. I'm now pissed off, but not about the Cleveland Browns. 216-474-0092. Are you apathetic about the Cleveland Browns? Because the Jameis conversation is fair. You can have a worse Jameis Winston. I do think something you've said already kind of points to where we're actually going with Jameis. And I think, I kind of think fans have told on themselves that they maybe are closer to me than maybe you were. And that's next on 92.3 The Fan. Something like 2 weeks after giving up play calling duty and having a new quarterback and swapping out left tackles to be like, but wait, there's more.
Outside of firing yourself, which I did think was on the board until the Eagles kind of turned it around a little bit. I was like, is there a chance that maybe Stefanski sees what's happening in Philadelphia and wants that job and starts to angle for that one instead? There are a lot of jobs with good quarterbacks that are going to be open at the end of the season, though. I think we do have to start taking into the consideration the idea that maybe Stefanski is also rooting for that to happen as well.
I don't know. It's so impossible to get a read on this. I will say, the narrative that continues to come out about, you know, poor little Kevin and he doesn't have any power, I think is wildly unfair. If that's your defense of Kevin Stefanski, is he doesn't have any power in this, that's not a defense. That's not. No, you're making him seem like the man has no power, no responsibility, and is in no way, like, in charge of their success. Like, you can't go out and say, well, they went 11-6 last year for Kevin, and then this year go, but he has no power. Like, that is wildly disingenuous. That is talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Well, but the idea, and it's always been true with Kevin, and this is one thing that I've kind of clapped back on, is the idea that when things go right, he gets all the credit. When things go bad, he gets none of the blame. Like, it's always been with him. That's why for years I made the case that if the Browns won a Super Bowl with Deshaun Watson, then Andrew Berry and Stefanski were going to get all the credit for bringing Deshaun Watson here. And if it went bad, then Haslam was going to take all the blame. And we kind of see how that's going.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I actually think, so the quarterback we haven't mentioned yet, I think the most telling thought of where Browns fans are with this team as relation to Sunday and what that game means. I haven't heard nothing about Jameis Winston losing his job.
No, Stefanski last night in the postgame, in the postgame was like, it's his job. And I think people believe that.
Well, but I just, like, we've done that where we've heard the coach say something, and then we go, well, that's not the way it should be. I think yesterday was the straw that broke the camel's back for Browns fans. Of like,
yeah,
like even if you bench Jameis for DTR, it's not going to fix it.
Right.
Like I think, and by the way, it's not a bad place to be because it can allow you some pretty sober decisions here.
It feels
ahead
pretty
bad. Of tomorrow. And I also think it allows you to maybe start having an honest conversation about Andrew and Kevin and all that kind of stuff. Now, I don't see the point of having those conversations exactly today, but like I think in a way, 2-7 can be a gift. There's no ambiguity. The worst thing you could have with this team is ambiguity. That's what they've had for 3 years because of Deshaun. Even when it's good, it's like, well, but what about Deshaun?
Like, okay, I see what you're saying. It was wrapped funny to me. 2-7 is a gift is a hard thing to hear and be like, oh, thank goodness for 2-7. But I get what you're saying. You'd much rather know with certainty than sitting there and questioning. Like, the worst place the Browns could have been in, Nick, is at the end of the season if Deshaun Watson was fine and that was it. Because then you're like, I don't know. What do we do with fine?
Yeah.
What do we do with that? At least this way we know.
Well, in 8-9 is the worst place you can be. It'll be fun because that means you will have to win six of your final nine games. But guys, or six of your final eight games. That is always fun. But where this team needs a reckoning. This team needs a, man, why does this player-led locker room, I'm going to reset that.
That's okay. Yeah, one more chance.
Why does this player-led locker room seem to have no fight and toughness, and the second they get punched in the mouth, they fall down?
No, but that's what's nice about yesterday, in a way, is that it takes away the idea that if they end up winning out, let's say, even, it just doesn't matter. None of it's going to erase any perception of what anyone has right now.
And if there is anyone out there clinging to, but, they're 1-1 without Deshaun. The Chargers told you yesterday how much respect they have for you and for your offense. Because when they were down in the fourth quarter, the conventional thing to do is just keep running the ball, run the clock out, and just take the win. That's not what the Chargers did. And I heard Andrew and Nathan's going to join us in 10 minutes. I heard them like kind of go back and forth, like, why do they continue to throw the ball? And you had one half of this, which was...
Well, I thought it was the fact that Herbert had been injured for basically five games of the season already. He'd come back. This is like his third game of being 100% healthy, and they just wanted to get him some throws.
Yes. So they treated it like a preseason. Now let's get to where I took it, which is they didn't respect your ability to get back in that game.
They knew they could put out whatever number they wanted to put out to yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, they knew they could give you...
They could call the box score ending.
They could give you... By the fourth quarter, they knew. We can give you four chances to get in the end zone. And you might make one of them. By the way, they took one of them. But you might make one of them, but you're not going to make this a game. So we're just going to go ahead and treat this like a preseason game. Think of how bad it has to get for a team full of veterans... Like, these are not rookies.
Well,
this is an older team.
Yeah, I know. I heard a Harbaugh leading up into the week. He'd made a comment about how he thought that the run game and the offensive line was the tip of the sword. And I guess Justin Herbert kind of took offense to that. So I do think a lot of this in that game was Harbaugh almost making it up to Herbert in a way of like, listen, I know you're the one. We go as you go. And I'm going to try to reaffirm that. I really think that was all that really was. I think you're right about the second part, too. He could have called out whatever score he wanted to. It was, in a sense, very disrespectful to the Browns. But I think at that point, when he knew the game was wrapped up, he's just trying to make his star quarterback feel like a star.
The thing is, I don't think it was disrespectful. I think it was pragmatic. I think he looked and he saw that team at some point in that game lost its fight.
I don't know, it reminded me of the Monday night game against the Knicks where Darius Garland got to score 15 in the fourth quarter. And you could tell the Cavs just wanted to boost up Darius' confidence. Mm-hmm. That's what that reminded me of.
And by the way, this is not me calling out Jim. Good. You had to get your work in. That team's got a hell of a chance to be a really nice team. And Jim Harbaugh is a good coach. They might actually do something in the playoffs this year. I no ill will. I don't. Because at some point, if the Browns don't stand up and punch back, if the Browns just take, hey, you know what? We're a bunch of good guys and we like each other. We're a bunch of pros. And hey, don't you guys know what we did last year? And if Kevin and Andrew want to tell me about the things they accomplished the first 4 years, you know what? If that's the best you got, if the best you've got is what about last year? That's fine. You're telling on yourself. But why? Like, I'm not going to give myself a coronary here when the Chargers told you what they think of the Browns. And the Browns tell you what they've got left in the tank. Maybe it's not all like a decision. Maybe it's just, hey, we got flattened. We didn't see it coming, and it's tough to get back on course. Whatever it is, You're flat. This is where you are.
I mean, I also think you're making the Chargers be a much better team than they were. Let's be honest about it. I think they're fine. One of their main targets in the passing game this year was a guy that in college played on the defensive line, and Disley. Okay, like I mean, they really traded every receiver that mattered away. Like, cool that Quentin Johnston had a nice catch yesterday, but like, it's I really don't think they're a very good Chargers team. I think they're at a crossroads in many respects. We just made them look like the 85 Bears.
I think they're going to be in the playoffs. I think.
I mean, maybe. I mean, wait. Have you looked at the schedule
in
general?
One of those teams was a playoff team, and the other one's just nothing.
You see, there's nine teams with two wins already. Like, that's it. Just two wins.
Baby.
There's a lot of teams right now. Like, if you can be a 500 team, you're going to end up in the playoffs. I think that's what the Chargers are right now. It's probably around a 500 team. 500 team gets in the postseason this year.
92.3 The Fan and Seaside Events wants to send you on the Browns fans cruise March 3rd through the 7th in 2025. Tune in weekdays at 9 a.m., 1 p.m., and 5 p.m. to hear the cruise code word in the very delectable music. I actually really do like, I'm really jonesing the music, guys. Then enter the code word at 923thefan.com by the end of the hour to get registered and entered to win. Reserve your spot on the 2025 Browns Fan Cruise at brownsfancruise.com. Use code word thefan2025 to save $200. Brought to you by Spirit Airlines, Seaside Events, and Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. Nathan Zagura gives us his thoughts on where the Browns are, especially as we are within just about 25 hours from the trade deadline, next on 92.3 The Fan.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.